good afternoon once again, everyone. I'm Chad Holmes. It's our number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Full Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at FullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, it is a hump day Wednesday, and it's a bit of a dreary day weather-wise. It's been dark throughout the day, been getting some light rain and other precipitation, had some snow on the ground when we went to work this morning. Again, we're just into the first couple of days of spring, but right now feeling anything but spring. Can things change? Will we see some sunshine, some warmer weather as we get towards the end of the work week? Well, to find out, we are now joined from weatherology.com by meteorologist Patrick McMillan, sitting in today for Ray Miller. And Patrick, good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Well, we'll see actually some cloudy skies continue throughout the night, as well as the area, or the chance for some light snow as we go through the night. Lows around 24 degrees, but by tomorrow, we'll see mostly sunny skies come out with a high of 39. Thursday night, it'll remain mostly clear with a low of 15. Then Friday, we'll see plenty of sun and a high of 41. A chance of snow returns by Friday night, starting late in the night. Partly cloudy skies otherwise in a low of 24. Saturday, a chance of snow continues, partly sunny and a high of 40. Saturday night, a chance of snow in the evening, then mostly cloudy with a low of 24. Then partly sunny skies return on Sunday with a high of 44. Looking ahead to the beginning of next week on Monday, a chance of snow in the morning, then turning to rain and snow in the afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high of 42. From Weatherology, I'm Patrick McMillan.
Well, Patrick, I guess the good news is that we will get brightened up a little bit tomorrow with the sunshine, but it does appear from based on your forecast, we're going to struggle at least for a little bit still to get back to normal temperatures for this time of year.
Yep, it's going to be below the average. We'll see a little bit above the average temperatures on Sunday just by a couple of degrees. But yeah, apart from that, it's going to be a little chillier than usual.
Well, thanks a lot for the information, and we'll talk again soon.
Yep, have a good day.
And right now in Wausau, again, a bit of a dreary one. Overcast skies, temperature stands at 42 degrees, winds out of the southwest at 9 miles per hour, wind chill factor of 37. Dew point of 36 degrees, relative humidity of 79%, the barometer at 29.79 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. It is our number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Again, coming up in about, 5 minutes or so, I'll be talking to Wausau West hockey coach B.J. Brandt, talk about, again, the potential changes involved with school consolidation for his program and other sports teams at Wausau East and Wausau West. Also talked to him about the latest state hockey tournament. Coach Brandt is the president of the Wisconsin Hockey Coaches Association, and that group, along with others, helped move the state hockey tournament from the Alliant Energy Center to Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena. So we'll talk about that coming up as well with B.J. Brandt starting at 3:15 today. Also, tomorrow, at 2:33 tomorrow, we'll be joined by WAOW news anchor Brad Hansen. Brad spent a couple of weeks at the state basketball tournaments, both the girls and the boys. We'll talk about that and other things with Brad Hansen, again, news anchor for WAOW at 2:33 tomorrow. And also tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about and maybe have some sound as well, because tomorrow morning, I'm involved in an event with Protect Our Care Wisconsin. It is hosting an event to highlight the 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act in conjunction with Citizen Action of Wisconsin. And it'll be a discussion on how state residents have benefited from the law. And one of the state residents that will talk about how he was benefited by the law will be me. I'm going to be part of it, part of the panel, talking about how I was able to get good medical care and not be put into a lifetime of debt because of the Affordable Care Act. And also, part of that event tomorrow morning will be the governor, Tony Evers. So, again, I hope to have some sound from that event and maybe even a chance to talk to Governor Evers as well. So we're going to have that as part of our program in the second hour tomorrow here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. So, again, I'm looking forward to that. And not sure exactly how I'm going to be able to use the information, but I'm looking forward to talking about my story and then sharing some of it with you as well on the program tomorrow. So it should be a good one tomorrow. And join me each and every weekday from 2 until 4 p.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We're going to take a quick timeout and then be joined by B.J. Brandt, again, the Wausau West hockey coach and guy I get to spend a lot of time with during the course of the hockey season. And we're going to talk about a couple of different issues with B.J. coming up next. Again, it is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Welcome back into studio. I see a lot during the winter, and I look outside, and it still looks like winter, so may as well talk a little bit about what's going on in high school hockey around the state and around the area. The head hockey coach at Wausau West High School and also the president of the Wisconsin Hockey Coaches Association, B.J. Brandt. B.J., good to see you.
Good to be here, Chad. I wish it didn't look like winter outside. But
spring break, isn't it?
It is spring break, and and it's going to be 47. You know, it's going to get there today, so that's good.
Doesn't look like it and doesn't feel like it, but nevertheless, a number of things to talk about. And let's start off locally, because in the last couple of months, a lot of discussion about the consolidation of schools in the Wausau School District. I've been talking a lot about it here. I've been talking to folks running for the school board. And there's obviously an aspect to it that involves athletics. And Wausau West Hockey this past season celebrating 50 years as a very, very successful program. I mean, you did a lot to celebrate a lot of players, a lot of coaches, a lot of championships. And now, as we stand right now, and of course things can always change, in a couple of years it will be, again, Wausau High School. For you, as the head hockey coach at Wausau West, as somebody who played hockey at Wausau West, as somebody that I would hope would be still part of the hockey program in the years to come as this transition occurs, I just was wondering what your initial thoughts are, because I know it's still early and there's still so many unanswered questions out there, but some initial thoughts about what this change means for hockey here in Wausau.
Well, there's a lot of thoughts. I think apprehension. You know, I think there's a lot of apprehension right now from the perspective of You want to make sure that we're doing things for the right reasons. And I think that the decision to consolidate is being done for the right reasons, because I think the reality of it is academically, this provides a better opportunity for all of our students in our district. Because I know just in like my area alone that I teach, the same classes aren't run at both schools. So from that part, there's an inequity. There is the ability to travel. There's a lot of solutions that we've tried over the years. From the sports side, I think that's where the passion comes in, because we have been separate for so long. And I think that it's hard sometimes to look at it with an open mind, because we are in our little silos. You've got Wausau East, you've got Wausau West, and everything that built on – the 50 years of West hockey. And to think that, you know, a couple of years from now, that won't be there in terms of Wausau West hockey, but it'll still be a huge part of our history of whatever we become with that one high school. And I think that's the lens that I've tried to look through, is that history doesn't go away. That history still exists. The people that were involved are still Wausau hockey people, and yes, it was Wausau West, yes, it was Wausau East, because you look back to when they came over, when we went to two high schools early on in the 70s, Wausau East was really good, and they made multiple state tournament appearances, and then over the years, like, you saw the development of Wausau West and how we were able to be successful. I think you can combine those two histories a little bit, and this is me being positive, because you can go dark with this real quickly and think about how negatively affects you, but I look at it as somebody who is in favor of this and how it affects my kids, because my children, you know, with having a freshman next year all the way down to a first grader, this is going to affect their academic career. And I think, you know, you look at from that lens, and sports are extracurricular activities. Is it a reason a lot of kids succeed in school and some of their driving force? Absolutely it is. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're taking care of our students and making sure our student athletes have opportunities. And I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity. Is it going to be the same? No, it's not going to be the same. It's going to be different. It's going to look different. And I think there's going to have to be some very wide lenses that people look through as we make this transition, because as much as we want it to be smooth, it's going to be no different than the transition from the Alliant Energy Center to Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena. There's going to be things that we don't know about. There's going to be things that you try to take care of that you're going to have a little bit of an open mind with. And I think that's the lens I'm looking through it from right now, is to have an open mind and see what's going to come from it. Because the reality of it is, we're still a couple of years away, and I don't think they don't know those details. And I think that's a lot of the apprehension for everyone, is they don't know exactly how it's going to be. And I think over the next year, I think you'll see some of those details and come out, and it's either going to ignite more passion for against it, or it's going to unite people for it.
And I imagine, as you who runs a program, it's interesting, because I think people don't realize maybe where the hockey players come from within Wausau, whether it's for Wausau West or for Wausau East and their co-op with East Merrill. You deal with the kids through the Blue Jack program, and that's a program that is basically Wausau together, isn't it?
Oh yeah, the War Jacks, the youth yes. Organization.
I'm sorry. there's so many Jacks involved. War Jacks, of course.
Yeah, and I think you look at a lot of youth programs within our community, and they're not based on where you live. You know, it's the whole community. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's some of the soccer clubs, obviously there's multiple clubs there. Softball, baseball, they're all united. It's Wausau Youth Baseball, Wausau Youth Softball. I have a hard time putting those two together. And hockey's no different. You know, I think some of the only separations you may see is some of the youth basketball organizations and things like that are separated a little bit. But even then, they really don't care where you live. They just want you to participate in their program. And I think that's a big part of where we can be united. We're already together right now from ages 5 to 13. You know, now we're just going to be together a little bit longer. And I think that through this competition creates success, and it's going to create change. And I think having those competitive environments are going to create better athletes. You know, is it going to make us the best at everything? No. Will it make us better at everything? Probably. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people are concerned that this is athletic based. I don't think it is athletic based. I think there's a lot of positives that come from the athletic side of it, from this combining of East and West. But I don't know that that's the root of why we're doing it.
Again, we're talking to B.J. Brandt, head hockey coach at Wausau West, president of the Wisconsin Hockey Coaches Association, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I want to ask you about the girls' aspect of it, because I know that you have three girls that are involved in hockey that are getting closer and closer to participating at the high school level. Does that future change anything with the current storm setup? Because we have a co-op that involves East, West, D.C. Everest, Merrill, Mosinee, Wittenberg-Pernawood.
Marathon.
As you look forward with that, are there opportunities within the girls' sports? Because as well, it's going to be a major effect. Does that change anything? Because let's open it up. There's a, whenever you talk co-ops, there's a lot of passion with that as well, not just around here, but around the state of Wisconsin. Do you sense that there could be, you know, an opportunity for change within girls hockey here in the Wausau area with the changes that are going on, you know, in the whole with the Wausau School District?
I mean, I think it's going to be an opportunity to reevaluate it. Do I think anything changes from the Storm side? I don't. I mean, I think it all comes down to numbers. And right now, you know, the Storm has good numbers. You know, like they've got a good number. I think they'll be at, you know, 28, 29, 30, somewhere in there next year. But what you can't do is try to project too far. Because what happens is just because you have 30 girls that are U10 age, doesn't mean that all of those girls make it to 14U or make it to high school hockey. Because if you make a decision just based on that projection, I think, yeah, you can split them up, but it doesn't mean that you're going to find that you have two sustainable programs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you've got to really do your homework when you're ready to split up a co-op. I think, you know, I look at West Salem. They split off on their co-op, and they've been able to be sustainable back, this is probably 7 years now. But that's because they had a significant change in their youth organization. And that was a longevity, you know, significant change that you could project. I don't know that as a Storm youth organization, we've had that change. And I think that's where you've got to evaluate. I would hate to see us, go apart just to come back together at some point. It just didn't, I know the opinions of people outside of the Storm family. Some are positive, some are negative.
Some are vitriol.
some are very passionate about it. But you can't, in my mind, you can't compare one co-op to another just based on number of schools, just based on all these other factors that they try to compare it to. And one co-op's success doesn't mean that co-op needs to go away. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's where some of the passion gets lost in you get blinded by results at times. But I think you've got to take it year by year and see, you know, does Wausau combining give it an opportunity? Yeah, there is an opportunity there. But at the same time, you've got to make sure that you're making the right decision for all those girls, not just the Wausau girls, not just the Mosinee girls, not just Everest, or all of the, you know, the small schools that go with it. You got to make sure you're making the right decision for all of them.
One more question before we take a break, and then we'll turn our attention to what happened at the state hockey tournament with the big changes there. But when you look at Wausau hockey from the youth level through the high schools, it feels like hockey is in a pretty good spot in this area. I mean, your program is doing very well in terms of numbers. The Storm program obviously does very well as well. If you look at the number of kids from Wausau that are involved in the Storm program as well, what's been the key for Wausau hockey to be successful in terms of the numbers?
Well, I think it's getting kids involved. You know, coming out of COVID, I think that was for all organizations, trying to get people back involved with youth sports, youth clubs, youth activities, because that right there leads to high school clubs, high school activities, high school sports. You know, and I think you've got to make sure that you continue that way to get people involved, and that's communicating, using social media, emailing. I mean, just any way that you can kind of create an excitement around your sport. And I think the success of West has helped keep the, you know, the program strong. I think that helps. I do think that we've been able to, you know, even through COVID, our youth hockey organization was able to grow their numbers. And I think that was an anomaly, but one that was worked hard for and earned. I think, you know, they did things the right way, and now it's a matter of sustaining those numbers and keeping and continuing that growth. Because in any club or activity, if you have, you know, 5-year-olds, you get 60 of them, you hope, you know, just the data shows that by the time they get to 14 years old, you hope you have 30 of them. Mm-hmm. Because that's just the nature of getting involved with anything. Kids grow, they have different interests. But I think for hockey, we've had a pretty good group coming through, and I think we've got a really good younger group in there right now. You know, COVID throws a wrinkle because you're still dealing with some of the issues from that. But I think overall it's been great, and I think, you know, looking at the future of Wausau hockey, if that's, you know, that's the route we're going, mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool future.
Again, we're talking to BJ Brandt, the head hockey coach at Wausau West, also wears a hat as the president of the Wisconsin Hockey Coaches Association, and the WHCA was a big factor in a big change in high school hockey this year. The state tournament moved from its longtime home at the Alliant Energy Center to the Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena. We're going to talk to BJ about what worked, maybe what didn't work, what the future looks like for state hockey as well as we continue. BJ Brandt joining us here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, we are talking to Wausau West head hockey coach BJ Brandt, also the president of the Wisconsin Hockey Coaches Association. And as we, as I mentioned before going into the break, significant change this year at the state tournament. Just a few weeks ago, was held at the Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena in Middleton after many years at the Alliant Energy Center. I guess, first of all, the change occurred because it was, I think, pretty close to unanimous that the Alliant was not working for what the state hockey tournament wanted in terms of the experience for everybody involved, whether it was the players, whether it was the families, whether it was the media folks and everybody else. And it was moved to a smaller venue, Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena. This was year one. And I think as something you talked about in the last segment about, you know, sometimes there'll be people that are positive, some people are negative. There'll be things that work, things that don't work. I think it all kind of came together in that realm. But before you answered, I guess the thing I'll say is, you know, I was down there for the first day with Mosin A, along with you, of course, that it was definitely a better experience than it had been at Alliant. Not perfect, but better. Is that the way you looked at it as well?
Oh, my gosh. It was, I mean, the atmosphere was exactly what the coaches wanted. You know, and I think that was, we wanted to create a sectional final type feel, and I think that was created. I think having Oregon and Verona there helped that considerably because they were there. That was just massive crowds. And I think it made it a ticket. You know, and you looked at the crowd from Mosin and Oregon game, phenomenal. I mean, standing room only, three people deep in the standing room only. Is that great for us? I mean, it's great for the kids on the ice. It's not great for the person that got there a little bit late and is three deep in the back. And you know, it's a level of discomfort to watch, you know, whether it's a grandchild, a son, a daughter, whatever, play. I understand that side of it. But from the coach's side, where we wanted to create a number one, create a great environment, number two, create a ticket, create some buzz around it, I think the venue did a fantastic job at that. And I we've seen a lot of positive feedback from the coaches. I mean, you can call some of the guys, how did it look on TV, how did it look? And just from that perspective, there wasn't the empty red seats. Mm-hmm. There was kids excited to cheer on their classmates. Communities filled the arena to cheer their kids on. And it was just, I thought it was super positive from that perspective. Certainly, there's things we need to work on. But I think overall, it was a really good first run at Camp Ice.
What did you hear back from, did you have a chance to hear from some of the participants, the players? And you said the coaches as well, but especially the players. Did you get a chance to hear what they said? What were their feelings were about the experience for them?
No, we did not get any player feedback. I'll be reaching out here to the coaches now that they've had a chance to digest it a little bit and get some feedback on the eight teams that were there. Because there's things, you know, like busing arrivals and getting into locker rooms and just some of the logistical things that Alliant was able to provide because it was such a big facility.
Right,
it's a smaller facility. You've got a certain amount of locker rooms. But, I mean, they were able to run the women's U18 international tournament in there this past summer or the year before. And so I think they've been able to do some of those things. But I know there'll be some feedback on that. And it's just a matter of working with, LeVar and the WIA to make sure that we make it better for year two, because there were certainly going to be a lot of things that were learned throughout. And we have a call on coming up here in a week and a half with the WIA to kind of regroup a little bit and kind of think about where we're going as a hockey group.
When you talk about problems you kind of like to have is the fact that it was jam-packed. And I will say that the Saturday of the championship games, I had put on my social media Friday about, I said, in the past I was so far away broadcasting. And this year I was right in the corner, right against the boards. And I said it was different. And I did not really make a judgment call, because I think there are positives and negatives for both areas. Up high, you can really see everything develop. Down low, you really feel the game a lot better, but may not be able to see it as quickly, quite as well. But there was somebody that I have no idea who this person was, where they're from, but they said, well, maybe for the media it's better, but wasn't for the fans. And again, I don't know. That was one person who reached out, saw what I said, and took my comment as an endorsement, which, I mean, I think it was a better tournament. I'm not afraid to say that. But again, I think from my point of view, I could be in a better spot to see things as they develop. But the idea that there were some fans, and I think I have heard this anecdotally more than once, that there were some people that, as you said, may have got there a little bit later, may have had obstructed views. Is there anything that can be done in terms of making sure that you understand what the fan experience was as well?
Yeah, I think that's what, when we meet with the WIA, we talk about and what those solutions are. Obviously, WIA and LeVar have got to figure that out a little bit. I know he had threw some ideas out of ways to improve while the event was going on. Because the biggest part was at that upper level. There was a little bit of bleachering up there and a lot of standing room. And I think maybe there's some opportunities there for a little more bleachering to make sure that people can see when they walk in. I got some feedback from some people, and it wasn't positive. They were saying we went backwards, we did all these other things that took the game backwards or took the venue backwards. And I think some of that comes from, one of the things I talked about in our coaches meeting was, yes, Madison guys, I get it. You play in this arena in your conference games. You play, you practice here. Your youth games are here. And with the Alliant, we didn't have that. You never played in that arena. But I understand it, but I also understand that this is better for our sport right now. And I think that's what we have to focus on. Because if you look at the other venues throughout the state, you've got Resch. Everybody wants Resch. Resch isn't going to work. Resch has said that they don't have room for us.
Right. And even if you were at the Resch, there would be some of the same issues that we had at Alliant.
Yeah.
I mean, there would be, because you're not going to fill up the Resch Center either.
No, you look at, I think the biggest crowd was, we had multiple sellouts, which was fantastic for single game sellouts, which is over 2,200, 2,300 fans and loud and just a great environment. I think to the Hudson-Verona game, that was number one, just an electric environment in a great hockey game. I mean, just an absolute great hockey game, and it was just a super experience for those student athletes, for the fans, for the coaches that were coaching, for the people that understood where we were and where we were at. I think they saw some of that. I mean, you have to look at, that was year one. We're going to get better in year two. Parking was an issue. Going in and out of the arena for single games was an issue because we were behind. You look at the schedule of things, and we were fortunate with good weather, because basically when you go from sellout to sellout, you have 2,200 people in the arena. They got to leave, but you have 2,200 people sitting outside waiting to fill the arena. So there's some logistics things that they're going to have to work through. And
I shudder even thinking about that.
we had good weather, and
exactly.
If it was raining, that would have been a significant, we would have heard a lot more negative feedback than we did before. I mean, I just, there were some positives, and we lucked out a little bit on weather, but I think overall we improved the environment for the student athletes, for the coaches, for the fans. They're closer to the action. It looked better on TV. You know, I look at the selling point of it. We were, fortunate enough to have the statewide network. Mm-hmm. So to have that and that be the picture of what gets shown, that's fantastic for our sport.
And don't let the perfect get in the way of getting better. I mean, that's probably the biggest takeaway because, like you said, there are areas that whenever you change, I don't care if you have moved into a 7,500-seat venue that would have been or a 5,000-seat venue that may have been perfect, there would have been issues. There's always going to be issues when you change. But don't let the perfect get in the way of taking a step forward. And I think bottom line is, and as somebody that was there, I think it was definitely a step forward.
Yeah, and I mean, the question would be like, okay, so if if not Cap Ice, where? It's back to the Alliant, and nobody wanted to go back to the Alliant. You know, you look at the opportunities. Everybody wants Le Bon. There are logistical issues with Le Bon just between their UW men's program, the women's program, and to have the space for us,
right.
It's not possible. And I think the more people understand what's available to us and what options we have, I think they understand that this is a pretty good environment. We can, and knowing that there's going to be some expansion potentially at Cap Ice, there's going to be some improvements from year one to year two, it's going to create a great environment. And I think the best part about it is even for the games that weren't sellouts, it still felt high energy. It mm-hmm. still felt like the place was full. It wasn't, you know, 75 red seats in the front row. It gave it a much better feel for even the games that weren't sellouts.
I did pitch to the mayor of Wausau yesterday about getting a new arena here in Wausau that could have the state tournament right here. I know there's some plans. She said there's some plans, you know, that are being developed for some new ice in this community. And frankly, I mean, you know, you've been around here a long time. I've been here a long time. It feels like this area could really use another facility, couldn't it?
Oh my gosh, Chad, we could use another facility for a lot of reasons, but I think if our community is able to pull this off, I think you'll find that it's not just the hockey community that's going to benefit from it. It's going to benefit the entire community. From the events and activities you can host in the facility, depending on size, to the events you're going to draw from other communities that are going to want to be here. I love the idea of the state tournament being in central Wisconsin. I love the idea that Superior doesn't have to drive 6 hours to get to Madison.
Right.
You know, they can drive 3 hours and get to Wausau, and everybody can drive 3 hours and get to Wausau, and provides a great destination spot for our community. So I would love to see a facility like that. I know there's talks. I know there's plans, and now it's just a matter of buttoning it up.
And also about the state tournament, and on my program last week, or actually a couple of weeks ago, was talking to one of the boys basketball writers from wisports.net about, you know, and I think there is, it's not just hockey, there's basketball as well that has this feeling that we're missing something at state because of the cut down of Division I teams at the state tournament. And there's been some, and I know we've talked about this in the past, about an 8-4 being the perfect format for the state tournament. There's some talk on the basketball side of maybe adding two teams to Division I in state basketball. Would that be something that would be a step forward for hockey as well, to have a couple of more Division I teams make it to the state tournament, even if you can't get to what you would ideally like, an 8-4?
Yeah, I think as a coaches group, I think everybody wants more Division I teams. I think they love the two-division model. We've talked about it. We've said, can we do a 6-4? Because that now gets more Division I teams there. I know, you know, just talking to you, that 6 model, I think, provides an opportunity there to get more Division I teams, to get more people from other communities there. You know, you look at the way that things went for us to Division II. We've had 11 or 12 different communities represented at Division II, but only 6 represented at Division I. So you look at the way that we can expand that to get more representation at Division I. And I think when you bring in Division I teams, you're going to bring in more people. And I think that's a big part of it. I mean, I watched the boys and girls basketball tournaments on TV, and I love our environment better. I thought the tighter knit, smaller environment was great for those student athletes. And if we can find a way, and maybe we work together to do this, because change within the WIA happens slowly.
Yes, it does.
And I think it's by design to make sure that, you know, a knee jerk decision doesn't affect down the road. Right. Now we're running into that a little bit, Chad, on the overtime side for hockey, because we want changes there. because going down to 4-4 and 3-3 to decide a state tournament is just, there is no other place in the country that the most important games that we get on to 4-4 and 3-3. And I think that was a television-based decision that we were, you know, we weren't forced to do it, but we were encouraged as a group to suggest it. And
you want to keep the TV people happy.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's important.
It's absolutely important. But at the same time, we want to make sure that our student-athletes get to play 5-on-5 longer to determine that. Like, that was my one worry going into the state tournament, and always going into the state tournament since we've made these changes. Because in basketball, they play 5-on-5. They don't go down to 4-on-4. They don't go down to 3. And I know it's different because there's a lot more points, but no other state tournament super important game is decided by less than what their full strength is. So I think there's some really good things that I think can come out of this. I love the idea of expanding it. There's been talk that the girls group would like to go to a different weekend, possibly, maybe even not a different venue, but a different weekend to showcase the girls tournament a little bit and expand some of that. And that if that were to happen, that opens up more ice time for the boys, where the 8-4 might be a possibility. There's probably things in that I don't even know about that will determine that decision. But there's some really cool ideas being talked about, and I love that, you know, another sport is talking about trying to expand some of their bigger schools.
Well, I guess I have to leave it there. I love the winter sports, but I'm ready for some spring sports. But as long as there's still snow out there, it's great to be able to talk to you about some hockey. Again, appreciate you stopping on by, and we'll catch you again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chad.
Wausau West hockey coach B.J. Brandt. We'll have more coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I'm Chad Holmes, joining former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We'll be talking winter high school sports. We'll take a look at what's going on in high school boys and girls basketball and boys and girls hockey, plus special guests. Each week, we'll be joined by one of our area high school coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. It's nothing but high school sports for 2 hours each Wednesday night. The Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's home for the best in high school sports coverage. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Radio, 98.9 to 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, appreciate B.J. Brandt coming in and talking about those issues with us, about how the potential merging of high schools here in Wausau may affect athletics, and also about his thoughts on the changes at the WIAA State Hockey Tournament recently. And as we just heard in our Pro Bowl, that tonight from 6 till 8, 2 hours of high school sports talk on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. The final edition of the Big High School Sports Show for this year. Jeff Gress and myself will be talking to Mark Miller from Wisports.net starting at 6:15. We will have at 7 o'clock from Newman Catholic High School, their outstanding senior guard, Mason Prey, who helped the Cardinals to the state championship this past weekend. And then at 7:20, Dan Witter, the president of the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association, head basketball coach at Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln High School, and former Newman Catholic High School basketball coach. He'll be joining us at approximately 7:20. So final edition of the Big High School Sports Show for this year, our sixth year of doing the Big High School Sports Show, and it's been a terrific ride here on WXCO. Today is the 22nd day of March, day number 81 of 2023. There are 284 days left in the year. Taking a look at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1882, President Chester Arthur signed a measure outlawing polygamy. On this date in 1894, hockey's first Stanley Cup championship game was played. Home team Montreal, they were known as the Montreal Maroons, defeated Ottawa by a score of 3-1. On this date in 1945, the Arab League was formed with the adoption of a charter in Cairo, Egypt. In 1963, on March the 22nd, the Beatles' debut album, Please Please Me, was released in the UK by Parlophone. On this date in 1978, Carl Willenda, the 73-year-old patriarch of the Flying Willenda's High Wire Act, fell to his death while attempting to walk a cable strung between two hotel towers in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I saw that once on YouTube. And it's, you know, it was, but you hate to see it. I mean, I knew I shouldn't have watched it and didn't see him fall. I mean, you just saw him go, he was walking over it and the wind gusted up and he fell. And it was just, you know, tragic and tragedy. I mean, an entertainer, trying to entertain people passing away, doing what he loved. It was in the Flying Willendas, very famous right to this day. On this date in 1988, both houses of Congress overrode President Ronald Reagan's veto of the Civil Rights Restoration Act. On this date in 1993, Intel Corporation unveiled the original Pentium computer chip. In 1997, 14-year-old Tara Lipinski became the youngest ladies' world figure skating champion in Switzerland. In 2010, on this date, Google Incorporated stopped censoring the internet for China by shifting its search engine off the mainland to Hong Kong. On this date, 3 years ago in 2019, Special Counsel Robert Mueller closed his Russia investigation with no new charges, delivering his final report to the Justice Department officials. Also on this date in 2019, former President Jimmy Carter became the longest living chief executive in American history at 94 years and 172 days. He exceeded the lifespan of the late former President George H.W. Bush. So that means that today, Jimmy Carter continues to extend his record, obviously, right now in hospice care. But the former President Jimmy Carter, now 97 years and 172 days old, the oldest living former president. And on this date 1 year ago, actor Amanda Bynes was released from a court conservatorship that put her life and financial decisions in her parents' control for nearly 9 years. In fact, earlier this week, Amanda Bynes had some other issues, and she battles some mental health problems. So that's a look at some of the famous events on this date in history. On this date as well, some famous folks are celebrating their birthday. Actor William Shatner, the one, the only William Shatner, James Tiberius Kirk himself, William Shatner turning 92 years old today. Actor Emmett Walsh is 88. Singer-guitarist George Benson turns 80. Writer James Patterson is 76. CNN newscaster Wolf Blitzer is 75 years old today. Composer Andrew Lloyd Webber is 75. Sportscaster Bob Costas. Hard to believe Bob Costas is now 71 years old. Singer-actor Stephanie Mills is 66. Actor Matthew Modine turns 64. Actor-comedian Keegan-Michael Key is 52. Also celebrating a birthday today is actor Reese Witherspoon. She is 47 years old today. actor James Wolk turns 38. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9. Well, tomorrow, join us again from 2 until 4 p.m. at 2:33 tomorrow. I'll be talking to a WAOW Newsline News 9 anchor, Brad Hansen. That's at 2:33. And also, we'll go over the event that I'm going to be participating in tomorrow morning in honor of the 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act. I'm part of a panel. Also part of it will be the governor, Tony Evers. So we'll have sound from that as well tomorrow. Hopefully you can join me tomorrow from 2 until 4, another edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Don't forget, I'll be back from 6 till 8 for the Big High School Sports Show. But coming up next from 4 till 6, it is the Devil's Advocates. Mike and Dom coming up next. Have a great rest of your afternoon. Keep it right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.